I was born bold.
Deliverr. Simplify your restaurant's ordering and delivery capabilities. Find out more. Visit deliverr.com.au.
Worth's app makes mobile ordering easy. Download it now or visit worth.com.au.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Talk to Steve Silvani about this. Didn't the Pies shop him last year? They did. Wife and child still at home with him then. Remarkable coincidence. He's had a back end of contract. They got salary cap issues their own making, but that's got nothing to do with it. Yeah, righto. That's some of the cynics. They did try and shop him last year,
Tim. That's right. You're not buying it either.
They tried to shop him last year.
They did. And then they re-signed him, and he's got a back-ended contract that doesn't expire until the end of 2025.
And now they've got to deal with it.
Do you think they end up paying Darcy Moore a lot more money than they thought they were going to have to pay?
Maybe. He had an All-Australian year, elevated himself even further, so maybe they did. Which, again, they got Brody Grundy locked away for 7 years.
That's right. Steve Silvani's going to join us after 8 o'clock this morning. We're going to throw all these sorts of questions at him because he's been at the pointy end of trying to manage and that type of thing.
Indeed. And we'll talk to him about those long-term deals. Can they come back to bite you? Because the Giants are carrying a few of them. But, hey, we've got to change gears a bit here because Cam Smith, it's reported today that he's won his 8th Best Player Award for the Melbourne Storm, which we think is phenomenal. So then we started talking about Kevin Murray with his 8 and then, or 9, and then Bob Skilton with his 9, and then it grew and grew and grew. And the best we've come up with is a man by the name of Donny Falvo, who won 13 Best and Fairest, 12 at Robinvale, 1 at Golgol, up in the Millawa Footy League, and we thought we must talk to this young fellow, and he joined us on the line. G'day, Donny.
Hey, Gaz, how you going, mate?
Good to talk to you.
Hey, Johnny.
13 best and fairest. That's just unbelievable. Give us your background, your footy story.
Oh, I started playing in the A grade in the ones when I was 15, back in 1991. Happened to get a grand final in my first year, which was great. And then just had a good run with injury, never got injured, and ended up playing around 480 games, mate.
Oh, so, wow.
What sort of player? Describe you as a player. We've had plenty of messages about you come through our text messages here.
Oh, I'd love to say I was a big full forward to kick goals, but no, I was just a cheeky little rover, mate. Just play in the middle and do me stuff there. So, yeah, no, nothing special, really.
Hey, Donny, did the AFL scouts ever come knocking?
Yeah, back in 1993, I played for the Bendigo Pioneers. Played probably about 12 games there. Had a few offers, one from Adelaide Crows and Carlton, but nothing ever eventuated. Tim, probably the lure of the country kept me home.
So you were keen, but not that keen. Yeah, weren't desperate to go to the big city and continue your career.
Yes and no. I'd love to have played AFL, VFL back then, but mate, look. Love the country life and happy the way things ended up, really.
You're a rover? You're just, according to the messages, I don't want to be disrespectful, but just a wee little fella running around.
Yeah, no, I'm not real big, Gaz. I'm about 165 or 163 or something.
Not bad.
I'm getting shorter as I get older, mate, to be honest. But just dummy stuff every week, mate. Run around, chase the footy, mate. That was about it.
They said you're one of the best high marks for your size that they've ever seen. Do you like to take a hanger?
I could take a mark back in the day, but I was listening to your show before when Tim was saying that you lose it pretty quick, your jump and your agility. That happened very quick for me, don't worry, mate. So, I used to like taking a hanger over the ruckman and let them know about it too. So it was good.
What are you doing now? Because our program is now going up into Mildura, which we're thrilled about, and we welcome all our Mildura listeners up there. What do you do up there?
I grow grapes for a living, mate. Table grapes, not wine grapes, Tim. So we grow the grapes that you see in Coles and Safeways and go overseas and all that kind of stuff. So,
oh, magnificent. Yeah. And business is good, Donny?
Yeah, mate. Very good at the moment. We go into our busy time come January, February, so we're just hoping the corona is sorted out by then, mate, so we can tour systems go, hopefully. Yeah.
We're talking to Donny. Donny Falvo lives in Robinvale, won 13 best and fairest. Now, 12 of them 12 of them were at Robinvale and one was at Golgol.
Yep.
Did you start at Golgol or did you end at Golgol?
No, I played 28 years at Rombale, didn't go to another club, and then I retired and I thought I'd have a kick to a couple of mates at Golgol. They're in the Millawa League, it's a league below the St. Asia Footy League. So I went out there for a year or two and, yeah, just had a bit of fun. It was good.
Hey, Donnie, if the Wisp and I, when the Ring of Steel comes down, if the Wisp and I wanted to make a trip up to Mildura, it would be worth our while. There's a nice restaurant up there. We'd catch up with you.
Ah, you got the mighty Murray River, mate. You don't need any more. Jump on a houseboat for the weekend. What more do you want, mate?
Sounds good to me, Donnie. We might just do that. 89.1 FM in Mildura is our station up there, so we might just do that in the new year.
And on that, I'm a Pie supporter, mate. On that Trelaw thing, what's Collingwood thinking?
What do you think they should do?
Well, they should keep him because he's in their best five players. There's a couple more that should go before him. So, but yeah, I think unless they're landing a big fish with his money, I'd keep him. So,
I tell you what, Donnie.
But yeah, no, my son's going to be shattered if he goes. He's best player.
I like it, Donnie. It's a nice comment to finish up on. Hey, it's great to chat with you. 13 best and fairest is a damn fine effort. So, and you won. Sorry, quickly, you won 4 league best and fairest. Is that right?
Yeah. No, I've got the 4 league under the belt, and probably about 3 runners up. Blowing my own trumpet here,
Hey, a lot of your contemporaries are texting through saying I played against Donnie and he was a genuine country superstar right into his late 30s. So great to chat to you this morning, Donnie.
Thanks, guys.
And stay safe up there. And if we're up there, we're going to look you up.
Yeah, give me a buzz. Not a problem. Thanks, guys. Enjoy your show.
Donnie Falvo up in Robinvale, 89.1 FM in Mildura. The all-new game-changing Kia Cerritos landed. Find out more at kia.com.au.
I was born bold.
Deliverr. Simplify your restaurant's ordering and delivery capabilities. Find out more. Visit deliverr.com.au.
Worth's app makes mobile ordering easy. Download it now or visit worth.com.au.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
And Stephen Silvani joins us for the next hour and in an unpaid interview. He's with us for Tyre Power, keeping you safe on the roads in difficult times. That was written by the paid journalist, Sam McClure, who said it was a paid interview, but it wasn't a paid interview. It was just an appearance. But anyway, he's here. And anything you want to know about the trade period, you can ask him. We've got lots of questions to get through. He's doing great stuff on Trade Radio as well. Sausage, welcome.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Good to see you. Just a quick one before we get into some more specific stuff. When are we going to know, because a lot of this trade period and drafting more so, when are we going to know about list sizes? When can the AFL tell us?
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I think they don't know really, and I think it's part of the CBA agreements and getting to the Players Association. So it's a bit of an unknown. Maybe clubs do have a gauge on what lists might look like. Is it 38? Is it 40?
What's your best guess?
I think it'll be at least 38, possibly 40.
Right. Which is down from what?
Probably 4, if it's at 40. Yep. It might get to 42. It might be 40 and 2 rookies, but clubs haven't been told. So that's the difficulties right at the moment with so many players who are out of contract and players are just sort of waiting to see what those list sizes are going to be. So it's going to be interesting in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I know if it is only 2, I mean, that's 36 players over the course of the not going to be on AFL lists that would be looking to try and get somewhere else. So it becomes really competitive for a lot of those players who are on the periphery too.
No, it does. And then it depends on how many picks clubs actually want in the national draft as well. So, so it's going to be really interesting where the list sizes sort of lie. If it does come back by 4 to 6, well, you know, you're looking, if it comes back by 6, you've got to take 6 players off your list and then you've got to find probably another 2 or 3 spots if you want to go to the draft. So, you know, it could be up to 9 plays clubs might have to take off their list.
So tell us this then. This is a question from me as opposed to just our listeners. How do North Melbourne, who have already made 11 changes, so they've taken 11 off their list, that's without Brown and Higgins, which let's say they're going, which is almost certain. So that's 13 spots on their list that have gone. How do they fill them?
Yeah, well, we were sort of at the Blues, we were sort of in a similar position. I think we did 12 one year. So it's about, I would think probably Scotty sees this draft and he's probably looked at the draft and said, listen, I might have
Scotty Clayton.
Scotty Clayton, 6 or 7 picks. And then he might look at maybe picking up maybe 3 or 4 more senior players. And those senior players mightn't be necessarily the best players going around. They might be at the end of their career. He might need those type of players to fill their reserves team to give some stability and some senior experience in the reserves team.
Adam Treloar has become a huge discussion point across the AFL in the media. Everybody's talking about this particular story. Is there a world or a scenario in which you can see Adam Treloar ending back at GWS?
Look, I know Adam, and obviously he was at the Giants when I was there.
Yep.
I know that Adam really loved the Giants. I think they got a point where the Giants probably salary cap was filling up. And look, he's an extremely loyal person. He did end up at Collingwood and was lured by Collingwood to go and play there. So I would think the Giants would be looking at this scenario right at the minute, thinking, is there a chance that they could get Adam Treloar back, given the fact that they've got so many players leaving that football club at the moment? Certainly, I guess the story out there at the minute is that his partner is going to be in Queensland, and that looks like a really good fit.
Mm.
But it's just going to get to a point where how comfortable Adam's going to be at Collingwood, knowing that right at the minute it looks like they're probably trying to push him out, and whether that's for his best well-being, who knows?
Did he want to leave there in the first place?
I think his preferred option would have been to stay. But having said that, he probably got a better offer at Collingwood in terms of a contract, so that probably would have shored up his security in terms of his future. So and really right at the minute, it's, I think, looking at what's sort of happening in the background a little bit, there's a big contract there that is hurting Collingwood.
Okay, you've been a list manager. How do they find that if it is about salary cap pressure and easing that, how does a club find themselves in that situation?
Well, sometimes it's success. And I know they haven't achieved the ultimate success, but they got to a grand final where they lost by a kick.
Mm.
So, and then they've had someone like a Jordan Degoe that's potentially, you know, close to $1 million, maybe $700,000 to $800. They've got Darcy Moore coming through. They've got Pendlebury who'll be on big money. They've just signed Grundy on a big contract. So the squeeze starts to come. So, it can get difficult. And right at the minute, sometimes there's a player that falls out and it looks like it's going to be Adam Treloar.
What if he doesn't? What happens if he doesn't? What if he says, I'm staying? Traded for me. Here's the contract in front of me. I know exactly where I'm at. I'm not going anywhere. What happens
then?
Well,
then from a total player payments point of view, you look at other players that might be on $400,000 a year. Can we move those players, $500,000 a year? Or worst case scenario is you've got to start back-ending contracts. So they might have to go to another two or three players and ask, listen, we're over the cap here. Can we back-end your contract by $200,000-$300,000? That's a way to stay under the total player.
So
payment.
The seven-year deal to Grundy, I know hindsight's a wonderful thing, and he struggled a bit this year, not to the point where you think it's a disaster, but how do you see that? How do you view that deal?
Yeah, it's you've always got to be a bit wary of long-term contracts. I didn't mind the contract because at the time, he didn't have a great year this year, but I think this year we've got to give some players a little bit of a leeway in terms of the way they performed. he was probably the premier ruckman in the competition last year. He didn't have a great year this year. I would think he would have been like 24, 25 years of age when he signed that contract, probably goes to 32 when he gets to the end of it. It's always dangerous to sign a contract long-term. You see someone like a Buddy Franklin where initially he gave great service his last two years and he's still got a year to go. It could hurt you at the end, but I think Grundy was young enough to get the seven-year contract. He's probably last one or two years you mightn't get much out of him, but certainly he was a premier ruckman in the competition. He can still be that over the next 3 to 4 years.
How does that conversation go when you've got to sit down and talk to a player about a possible pay cut?
It's not great.
Have you had to do that very often?
No, I've never had to do that. Generally, the way it sort of works is that you'd speak to the manager.
Mm.
So fortunately, I've never been in that position where I've actually had to go. Obviously, you at the end of a contract, you might do another contract, and yeah, that they might get less money in that contract we're trying to agree to. But I've never had to go to a manager or a player to say, listen, I think you're on too much money here. You need to take a pay cut.
You talked before about Collingwood making a grand final and how that puts salary cap pressure on you. Richmond have just won 3 of the last 4 grand finals. Is there an explosion that's about it, or not? I'm not saying right now, but in the next couple of years or the next 12 months, are they going to have an increasingly difficult job in being able to maintain that list?
They may. Good clubs sell their clubs very well to their players. And you've seen what they've been able to do. They've been able to still bring players into their football club. You see someone like a Tom Lynch come to the football club. So they've been able to manage their cap very, very well. So often when players experience the excitement of a premiership, they want it again, and they've got a close mateship. So they're happy to take less money if they know they're a chance to play in another one. And I really believe that that's probably what's hurt the Giants down the track, that they were so close. They're so talented, so many talented players there. Had they won a flag in the last couple of years, I would have thought that a number of those players that have decided to leave or are leaving now would have remained at that football club.
So are the days of, on the basis of that, did the clubs now look at Richmond and Geelong and go, geez, you know, they're so close and so tight-knit that we can't try and just throw a bomb in there and upset the apple cart? I mean, would you still be looking at that Richmond list and poring over it and going, okay, Jaden Short's one of best and fairest. He might be on 380, 400. We'll offer him 7. Is there still scope for that sort of stuff?
I think there is. And I think, though, more so probably, I think clubs would probably look at the players that have missed out on those grand finals.
Jack Higgins.
Jack Higgins is one, you know. So they're probably gettable, knowing that how am I going to break in that team? Jack's probably thinking, how am I going to break in that team? I really want to play senior football and I can't get in there. And it's really interesting when you look at, and I said it on Trade Radio the other day, that's a dynasty in terms of what they've built, that football club at the moment. But that team is one of the great teams in terms of the way they play for each other. Mm. If you line that team up against the great Essendons, the Hawthorn teams, the Brisbane teams, I'm not too sure how it sort of stacks up in terms of the real talented side of things, in terms of players. They are a great, great team. Mm. And what Damien Hardwick and the rest of those coaches have been able to do there is a credit to the hard work and the culture they've built at that football club.
Well, Stephen Silvani's here for Tyre Power Big Footy Final Sale now on, and the Manshake. Lose the beer gut without losing the beers. You can visit manshake.com.au. How often, or if at all, does the audacious bid come in from clubs? Does this happen at all where they look at it and go, I'm going after Bontempelli, or I'm going after Cripps? I don't care. I don't care what people think about it. I'm going to put together a $1.5 million deal for Marcus Bontempelli and try and rip him out of the... This is just for, I'm picking a name. Does that still happen?
No, it does.
How often?
I would think a club would do... There'd be a club in the competition each year, at least one club, that they'd be targeting a player and they'd be getting a massive offer. And
is there one that you're going to give us a heads up on in the past that perhaps hasn't come to light?
I think that you would look at a number of the GWS boys, like a Josh Kelly and a Cornelio and even...
Cameron, even?
Yeah, Jeremy at a time, Cameron at a time. I'm only speaking about past experiences, there'd be clubs... that would have been desperate. I shouldn't say desperate, but they would have money in their total player payments that they could go out and try and get a player of that quality.
Is there a thinking behind all that? That look, I'll go and I'll throw an enormous deal at this player. If we don't get him, what it's going to do? It's going to turn his head. He's going to go back to his manager, or his manager is going to say, "Hang on a minute, this club over here was prepared to pay this amount of money, and then to retain those players, which GWS has had to do over the years." Pay overs actually to keep their players on their list?
There's no doubt that happens. And I mean, if you look at players that have been attracted from from other clubs at the moment that are still in contract or even out of contract. Those a lot of clubs would like, rather than go to the draft, they would love to get a player of that same quality.
Mm.
But it's very difficult to get that player out of that club. So, you know, I would think list managers would be looking at other players that, okay, I'll go and offer him X amount of money. Now, he probably wouldn't come that year, knowing that he's got another year on that contract and the club won't release him. But the club would probably have to pay the next year, knowing that that player has been offered more money than what he is on at the moment.
Stephen Silvani's with us. He's here until 9 o'clock, so I've got lots to get through here with the big sausage. We'll take a break and be back with more after this.
I was born bold.
Deliverr. Simplify your restaurant's ordering and delivery capabilities. Find out more. Visit deliverr.com.au. Worth. All the workshop equipment you need on the go. Download the new Worth app today.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
We need to get Felix back on. The Hoff from Sportsbet just tipped the certainty at race one in Randwick and it's scratched. So I'm not saying our listeners are desperate. But
how many texts did we have immediately?
About 70. The bloody thing's scratched, idiots. Yep, take that on board, Felix. Give us another one. Stephen Silvani's with us through until about 5 to 9. We'll let him go off early. Unpaid interview with us. And Sausage, we... Jesse Hogan. Mm. So Jesse Hogan right now is Jesse Hogan was one of the most talented kids to come through. Went home to Fremantle. Now, right now, if you're a club, if you're a list manager, or what work would you do to decide whether or not you'd have a crack at Jesse Hogan?
Yeah, good question, Gaz. I think you've got to look at his history.
So how do you do that? When you say you've got to look at his history, how deep do you go?
Well, you've got to look at the clubs he's been at. So he's been at Melbourne. There obviously have been some issues there. And then he's gone to Fremantle, and he's been at Fremantle for three years.
2 years.
And there's been some issues there as well. So there's some alarm bells. Having said that, his bestie's very, very good. Even to a point where at the end of this season, his football was very, very good. So it's about looking at what you're going to deal with, not so much on the field, because I think his football on the field is very, very good, but it's off the field. What's his lifestyle off the field? What are his issues off the field? And that's the hardest thing, is that you need a club that that's set up to make sure that if he does come to your football club, he's given every opportunity to be able to succeed, to play as an AFL player. Now, are all clubs set up well to be able to handle Jesse Hogan's, deficiencies or issues off the field? I'm unsure.
Would you go to the point, when I was at St Kilda, we were looking at recruiting a player, and in the end, a private investigator was hired.
What?
A private investigator was hired to just investigate the player.
What?
And keep an eye on him for a period of time and report back.
What, track him?
Yes, and report back to him. Have you done that? Have you heard of that being done before?
I don't think in Jesse Hogan's case that you would need to go to that extent. I think right at the minute, I think most players and even managers are pretty much upfront in terms of what issues players actually are dealing with. So, and that's the thing. If you are going to go down that track, I think the Jesse Hogan camp, there needs to be full disclosure, because if there's not full disclosure, it's not going to work. It's not going to end well for him, and it's not going to end well for the club that's bringing him on board. So there's certainly an element of risk in this whole thing, because when you look back at players that have had certain issues in their careers, there hasn't been a lot of success stories. Not to say there hasn't been. There's an element of risk, and there's probably a reason why Fremantle have put him on the table as well.
With Stephen Silvani, just firing questions at him left, right and centre here, the ones that we want to know the answers to. Patrick Cripps, with Carlton fans When do they need to get some indication from? He's contracted till the end of next year.
That's correct.
So when would they need to get some indication? Because normally, would you not try and sign him a year out?
I've got no doubt that the club would have tried to have signed him this season. Yeah.
He got any concern that the pull and lure of Western Australia may?
I think there's always a bit of a concern, but he's captain of the football club, so that comes into play massively, I reckon. So there's that. I think a lot really depends on Carlton's season next year. And that would, I think, have a fair bearing on Patrick's decision, knowing that he hasn't played finals since he's been there. I think I'm right on that. So he would dearly love to play finals. He's obviously been through a situation where there's been a rebuild at that football club. I've got no doubt he would be extremely delighted to know that they've been able to get an Adam Saad and a Zach Williams on board. That would excite him a lot. So, and it's probably, other than this year just gone, and next year, they're fully loaded in terms of, you know, salary cap, that they've been able to pay their full amount of salary cap. And they've been able to get attract players in the door. So he'd be delighted that's happened, and that would give him a lot of confidence in terms of the direction the club's going.
Got to get some 8:30 news headlines, and don't worry, I haven't let the lead story slide through. I'll just chip away at the wisp and see if I can find out who the private investigator was heading after. That has caused a stir out there in the world of our audience, wisp. I think I know who it is. I'll come back after this.
I may not tell
Sauce
you.
Sauce is going to have a big drink of water and clear his throat, and we'll come back after the news headlines. With Stephen Silvani, he's up and through until 5 to 9. You can hear him on Trade Radio from 3 to 6 each and every day. Just in terms of how big a role will Tim Hazel, who is the manager of Adam Treloar, how big a role is he playing in this whole situation?
Are significant.
In what way?
Well, I think there'd be a point where I think if Collingwood are trying to get Adam Treloar out, they would be certainly massaging, if I can use that word, Tim Hazel to get to Adam. That's particularly if Adam shut down on Collingwood saying, I don't want to talk anymore, I'm staying at this football club. Mm. So they'd be in constant dialogue with the management group, say, mate, we need to do something here.
Okay, and now Tim Hazel's not one of the big managers. I'm not saying he's not a good manager. He's not one of the big ones. But if it was a Jake Connors or a Craig Kelly's organisation, is there a risk of Collingwood offsiding that manager who they then manage another four or five very good players? Does that happen in the footy world?
Yeah, that can happen.
That make life more difficult?
That can happen. I mean, and look, it's a really delicate situation because Collingwood could... And I think they do have a genuine care for what's happening in Adam's life here. And they probably generally think, you know what, this is the best move for Adam, knowing that his partner and child are going to be in Queensland. Hmm. But obviously Adam's come out and said, listen, I can handle this situation.
Yeah.
But that's where it's got a bit messy because – now he's saying that, but
pretty stake in the ground.
Yeah,
he said, I'm here. I've got a contract. I'm here.
Yeah. So they either need to get this deal done pretty quickly, or they need to, okay, this isn't going to happen because it could get really messy.
Okay. Last one on this, on Adam Treloar, and then we can get on to some other stuff. What would be an acceptable amount that Collingwood would be prepared to pay? Let's say, I don't know the figure. Let's say it's 900. What would be an acceptable amount, do you think, amount that Collingwood would pay to have Adam Treloar off their books?
Oh, I think a bit would be to do with what's coming back in terms of a draft selection, or it might be a player, but that obviously bringing a player in is going to cost them money. So a lot would depend on what draft selection they're getting back from the football club he may be going to.
Okay, but so they get Adam Treloar goes to the Gold Coast Suns and they get five, maybe. And then pay $200,000 of his $900,000. Would that be feasible?
That's very feasible.
Right.
Very.
Okay.
Is there the potential for some other club to get involved in a deal like this as well? Yeah, so it doesn't become just a straight deal between two clubs?
No, that can happen. But I would think, I think what happens here right now is that his management group, Adam's management group, will go and, well, Collingwood are trying to steer him to Gold Coast because that's where his partner is and the child. And they see that pick five, very valuable. It wouldn't surprise me right at the minute now Adam and his manager actually having a discussion, well, you know what, there could be other suitors out there.
Mm.
If you want to talk to someone else, or clubs could be actually ringing Tim Hazelrod at the minute and say, listen, if he wants to stay in Melbourne, we're happy to talk.
Bombers might be ringing.
That's a chance.
Melbourne might be ringing.
That's a chance. Bakes is on the line from Chirnside Park. G'day, Bakes.
G'day, gents. Just a quick one, or hopefully it's quick, but there's been some chatter about St Kilda and trying to get a little bit of assistance and backup for Max King. So there's been some chatter in regards with potentially Ben Brown. I don't necessarily agree with it or think that we need him, but there's also Paddy McCartan and also Jesse Hogan up for grabs. As a list manager perspective, if you're going to be looking at someone to give assistance to Max King, out of those three players, who would you look at?
Good question. Look, ideally, I mean, it all gets down to price, but it probably gets back to where their total player payments are and what they can afford. So they're bringing Crouch through the door. He's going to cost some money. Could be anywhere between $650,000 and $800,000. So, and you know they brought a whole group of players in the previous year. They brought in Hill and Ryder and Dougal Howard. So I'm not too sure where their total player payments fit. So ideally it'll probably get back to, okay, what players, what range, well, what can we spend and who sits in that range between the 300 and 500 range, or anything over 500 we can't fit. Now, you know, is that a Ben Brown? I would think Ben Brown's going to earn probably 500 upwards. A Jesse Hogan would be someone where you might get him a bit cheaper than that. So that's a chance. And who was the other
Paddy.
One?
Paddy. Sorry? Paddy.
And Paddy, well,
he plays for nothing.
Plays for nothing.
Yeah. Just to get given the opportunity. Let's take our last break with Sauce. We're here for Deliver It Made to Order and Worth. WURTH. 15,000 quality products. Just one app.